You know, right now we have unfilled jobs in the capital region that because we don't have the individuals in these high-tech jobs that are actually trained for it. We're recruiting from out of state to fill these jobs. So the fact that we're cutting further public education is kind of mind-boggling to me. And moving higher education and community college funding into the school aid fund really depletes the fund for the K-12 education that I think most people thought that that fund was created to pay you know the bill for. The real surprise to me in this one is that you know we were projected by the end of this fiscal year, so by October 1st, to have over $500 million in surplus in the school aid fund. In other words, we had enough money to never make a cut this year, going into the next year to pay for maybe an increase in school funding, and yet because of the manipulations of this budget in order to pay for this gigantic business tax cut, he dipped into the, he's proposed anyway, to dip into the school aid fund and actually, you know, make it in a deficit form going forward. So, I'm as perplexed as everybody else.
You know, Mark, what I don't get is why don't they cut tax incentive to businesses before they cut education? I'd rather pay more in taxes than seeing education funding cut.
Well, I think that, you know, the raising taxes is, of course, you know, always a tough sell for other people. But it's, you know, I don't know that we even have to raise taxes in order to appropriately fund K-12 education. Like I say, you know, the, you know, we've got an improving economy in the state even before all this manipulation seems to be taking place. And people are spending more money. You know, our tourist industry is up. Our sales tax revenues are up. And people are getting back to work. You know, people, the amount of, number of people hiring has doubled. So, you know, these are things that, that are happening without any of these changes, and they positively impact the school aid fund and paying for K-12 education. So I think this has a reason that is really unrelated to funding. It, you know, there's a belief that the benefits paid to teachers are too high, and that's been a target of the governor in trying to encourage school districts to, I guess, do it his way. You know, they call it best practices that, you know, the proposal for local government and for school districts is that if you follow the state's best practices, then you're going to get a bonus, so to speak. And, you know, why anybody would look to Lansing for best practices is, like, beyond comprehension for me. But, you know, having worked down here, you know, I think we all try. But I don't know that we'd be an example of best practices in any way whatsoever.
Well, Mark, what I hear from callers and emailers is that they don't think taxpayers should be paying monies to the pensions and retirement plans and health benefit plans that are out of order with what the private sector pays, that, you know, it's a different day and that these folks should have to pay their fair share of these items. What's your take on that?
Well, I think that's a, you know, that's a matter for the negotiating table, and in private industry, largely any kind of unionized industry, the amount that a employee pays into their pension plan is a plan that, or is an amount of money that is negotiated at the bargaining table. As far as the you know, like switching everybody to a defined contribution plan or some hybrid plan, those are things that a lot of, I mean, most communities have already gone to. I mean, those have already been negotiated. So I'm not sure what people are saying about that. The problem with going to a straight defined contribution plan is that there is no longer any contribution by the employee to the old pension plan. And so, you know, there is a reliance, you know, in order for these pension plans to make money, there has to be some fresh money coming in. So most retirement systems now look at a hybrid plan. I know this is getting kind of complicated, but that there's a different model out there that they prefer. Retirement systems refer, including the Office of Retirement Services at the state level. And it provides a greater surety to the retired employee because it's a combination of defined benefit and defined contribution. And it makes sure that somebody doesn't do some bad investment and end up on the public dole anyway. I mean, one of the problems with defined contribution is that in bad economic times, we end up paying the bill for these retirees anyway, so why not build in a little security anyway going into the future?
And, Mark, what I'm learning from education topics is that these school districts better have good bean counters, because you're going to have to figure out a way how to balance those budgets and create a surplus. And if you look at what they're doing, for example, in Williamston, they've been able to find a way to add full-time daycare, or excuse me, a full-time kindergarten, which is a very good thing if you talk to many of the residents in Lansing,
yeah,
or
you know,
in Williamston.
Yes, and Williamston has done a remarkable job of handling their budget, although I think they are really, with these cuts, the Williamston School District is going to be challenged, very, very challenged, to maintain services to the K-12 families that are out there. You know, there's one thing about all-day kindergarten. It's good for most kids, but it's another example of Lansing deciding what the local school districts should do. And we've mandated all-day kindergarten. There's a tremendous cost associated with that. But there's another issue, because East Lansing has all-day and half-day kindergarten, because some kids are right for all-day kindergarten, and some kids are not quite ready.
Yeah, I think Williamston is going to offer the same. I've only got about a minute left, so I want to jump into the prison issue. Why does it cost us $5,000 to $10,000 more per year to house a prisoner than it does in Illinois or Wisconsin or Indiana, where it's $10,000 per year less?
You know, I don't know the answer to that, and I know that we have to find out the answer to that. I will say this: you know, Rick Jones did a little bit of a study of the compensation paid to our corrections employees, and he found that that was not the issue. That, you know, the corrections employee salaries are, you know, about the same as they are in any other system. I know that we have costs associated with it, and I think it might have to do with older prisons as well, because the cost of maintaining those older structures is monumental. It's like the school districts. When we send money to Detroit and they're maintaining 100-year-old buildings, a lot less money gets into the classroom. So I think that is a part of the problem, but we need to find $500 million to cut out of that budget.
It's just mind-boggling. We spend so much more on incarcerated individuals as we do as educating our children.
Right.
All right, Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk with you soon.
All right. Have a great day.